the LiveX studio in New York City, Cheesehead TV brings you two guys who like to think they know something about football.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to Packer Transplants Live. I am Aaron Nagler, and with me, as always, it's quick on the draw, Mr. Corey Banky, my partner here at Cheesehead TV. We're joined, as always, on our live chat by the best and the brightest from around the Packers blogosphere, including our own Jamie Snowden and Alex Talish. So, Corey, tell us what is on tap, both Apple and Android, tonight.
Tonight, we'll lick our wounds from Thanksgiving night and look forward to Thursday night's matchup with the Lions. But right now, it's time for the good, the bad, and the ugly. We got the good. We got run blocking.
Getting Lacy free.
Jeff Janis.
Somebody wants to make a play.
Dayton Jones.
Rushing fools from outside linebacker.
And we got the ugly. We got,
Tom
Clements.
Buddy, run the freaking football.
James Jones.
Hang on to the football.
Aaron Rodgers.
Throw the freaking football.
And we got the ugly. We got Devontae Adams.
I mean, there is no other word in the lexicon to describe what Devontae Adams did on Thanksgiving night other than ugly.
Stinking up the joint.
U-G-L-Y. He ain't got no alibi. He ugly. What? He ugly. How you doing, Corey?
I'm good.
Yeah? Yep. I heard a rumor that there's an Android app for Cheesehead TV.
Yep. Just launched today.
I heard it dropped like moments before the show.
It dropped about 2 hours before the show. I decided to publish it after doing much QC and QAing.
Yeah? So how's reception been? How's Twitter reacting?
Pretty good. I think a lot of people don't know it actually exists yet, so they're finding out on the show right now. And, you know, some people have some comments. Some people who have never seen the iOS app, they have some comments. But, hey, here's what I want everybody to do. If you use it, if you like it, tell other people about it. The biggest issue we have, and I feel like it's a really great app for all Packer fans, even those that don't know about Cheesehead TV. And I think the hardest thing we have communicating the app is that how great it is for all Packer fans.
Every Packer fan.
If you hate Aaron Nagler, it's still a good app for you.
It's a great Packers app. You don't ever have to touch any content that has to do with Aaron Nagler on the app. That's what's great. Just go to Packer World.
It's true.
And get everything from around the Packers blogosphere delivered right to your phone.
Yep, and you can see this very show on iOS or Android.
You can watch it live right now. You could be watching this.
There are people on your device in the chat currently watching it
on
the Cheesehead TV app.
And then, of course, you have to download the live stream app to be able to chat.
To do the chat, although I think some people are successful doing the chat. I'm not sure.
Okay.
But,
rock and roll. We're still in beta. It's all right.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't have chat functionality for the live stream, but, you know, I love the fact that we can put video on there. I get a little bit, you know, I like to keep our video up until Sunday so people can really
Absolutely.
Get what we have to say because it's so important.
Very, very much so. I mean, what other, you know, Packers show kicks off a broadcast by nerding out about their app?
about their Android app.
Where else are you going to go?
Well, here's the
thing.
For
this kind of content,
Here's what I'm wondering, okay? So, like, 100 people replied to me when we released the iOS app.
Yeah.
Were like,
let me guess, they were magnanimous and very excited about the possibility for an Android app.
Yes, they were.
Oh, okay.
That's exactly how I was going to phrase it.
Okay, good.
And so now I want is all those people out
I thought
there,
they were like whining and bitching that there was no Android app.
I mean, here's the
I
thing.
I guess I read it wrong.
Here's the thing that I wish people would get behind, and a lot of people do. Look, we're an independent site. We are completely 100% bootstrapped is the word here. And so, you know,
emphasis on strapped. All right.
So, you know, I hope that if you like it, I know a lot of brands say this, but we hope that if you like it, tell other people about it. Tell other people that it's not just a Cheesehead TV blog app, that it's got a lot of capabilities. It's got the schedule. You've got other bloggers. You've got other, you can get everything in there.
Basically every major outlet that covers the Packers is aggregated in Packer World. Everything that we do, obviously, here at Cheesehead TV is on there. The schedule will take you to every post relating to every game that the Packers have played.
Yep.
It's a monster. It's amazing.
So, you know, what I really ask is let people know, rate it, review it. It's going to get to the top. My dream would be if you have Packers.com app and then the Cheesehead TV app right below it on all sites. You know, people were really great on the iOS app with the reviews. We had a couple crappy reviews that I think were from like other sites or something because they didn't even make any sense.
Right. Well, no, my favorite one was the guy who complained about a DraftKings ad. When, like, there were no DraftKings
no,
ad.
I don't
like, it was clearly something with his phone or something, his settings or something like that, where it popped. Like,
yeah, there's no pop-ups.
I was like, dude, my day job, I work for FanDuel. So I'm pretty sure we didn't strike a deal with DraftKings.
Sometimes when the Google AdSense, you will get a DraftKings ad. It's not like a pop-up.
I recognize that. But that was my point. It was like, you guys totally sold out to DraftKings. Don't think that happened. But yes, the majority of the reviews were amazing. They were positive. So Android users, get on there. Get the download. If you're listening to this later on the podcast, pull the car over or hop off the bus, whatever commute you're on, and download it.
Well, and not
stop
to,
whatever you're doing in life and download the app.
Not to belabor the point, but I can't tell you how many people now, they don't even like, they subscribe on iTunes, but they just listen to the podcast on the app because it's so easy.
Yep.
So
do it, people.
There you go.
Hey, what you drinking there, Corey?
Got a little bit of Wisco Disco.
Hey, me too.
I like it.
Salud. That's what I'm talking about right there.
Get the camera to
nothing
see.
Which camera? Where camera am I going to?
Oh, you can go to your camera.
Go to my camera? Let's grab an ice cold Wisco Disco.
Oh, you know what's hilarious? And only like two people that are watching the show probably
we'll
heard that
this.
Song. It's something that I can mean and tell you. Do you remember the Buttons commercial?
Oh my God, our Buttons commercial?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Of course.
So I was singing that song to my nephew.
Oh no.
And I put it in his head and him and my niece sang it for 9 hours on the drive back.
I'm sure your sister was really thrilled about that.
On Cheesehead TV because I had a button maker, like a thing that actually makes like 2-inch buttons. And Aaron
Corey made a boatload of buttons.
We made a boatload of buttons. And then we made a song, and it's like the first season of the podcast.
When we only did, I think we did a 20-minute podcast, but then that kind of expanded to two 20-minute sections.
This was our ad.
So in the middle, we were like, okay, we need a space for an ad. Because eventually we're going to sell this space to like Coca-Cola or McDonald's, like some big, huge corporate entity obviously going to come in here and buy this ad space.
But in the meantime, let's sell some buttons.
So we made an ad about
the
buttons.
It's Full Harmony.
And it was you and I doing Full Harmony singing about buttons.
Bad.
We got to find that. That's
got
to make a reappearance.
Oh, I have it, but I don't have it for the show.
I know.
Right now.
It's somewhere.
Anyway, I knew I forgot to tell you something. But yeah, we're watching Packer Transplants. On Cheesehead TV, sponsored by Wisco Disco, and that
is
something you can tweet right there. You're going to
win. Let's say you're just watching the show, right? You're watching it live because obviously, if you're listening,
you
later,
can only win if you're
no
watching
good.
It live.
But if you're watching live and you tweet that, what could possibly happen to you?
You could possibly win a Packer Legends poster.
That's amazing, Corey. Tell me more.
You could win a Packer. You can win a Packer Legends poster made by the one and only Brent Schoonover, amazing illustrator. He's been making a new legend every week, so hopefully we'll have an even bigger poster next year. You can buy that on the Cheesehead TV shop, along with other bundles of merchandise, okay? I'm not feeling all the people on Cyber Monday on the Cheesehead TV shop.
Wasn't a whole lot of activity is what you're saying here. We've got new pint glasses.
We got pint glasses.
They're pretty hot.
They're awesome, and they're
you would think we'd have some
only.
In the studio right here for us to be drinking out of.
No,
but
we're drinking out of Wisco Disco.
I know, but that would make too much sense.
Yes.
Yeah, of course. One of us could be drinking out of a sponsored can, and the other one of us could be drinking out of a pint glass.
No,
I'm just saying
that's not how this works.
You know what my goal here is? My goal right now in this very moment is to go as long as possible without talking about the Packers on the field. You know why? Because it's so fucking depressing.
That's really not depressing.
See, because you're Corey Behnke, and you're Mr. Oh, they're going to win the Super Bowl, no matter what. Like, even if, Aaron Rodgers is abducted by aliens. Oh, it's okay. Scott Tolzien will lead us to the promised land.
Yeah.
That's Corey Behnke.
I could see that happening.
This year.
I could see that happening. I'm just saying I could see that happening.
I am shocked.
I wasn't that depressed, because here's the thing.
Don't lie. Don't lie to me right now.
I wasn't.
Don't lie to me.
I wasn't that depressed.
You were the next morning when you woke up.
No, I wasn't that depressed watching the game. Because here's the thing, right? Mm-hmm. Something we talked about. This is a perspective issue, right?
Okay. All right.
Something we talked about at the beginning of this year, right? On this very show, we talked about how amazing would it be if we beat the Bears twice in the season because...
To tie up the series.
We'll tie up the series. Right. It's been a long time coming. We're talking about, I think, 16
decades,
to 18
dude.
Years, something right. ridiculous. Yeah. You know, and this is the Bears Super Bowl here.
Well, it certainly sounded like that afterwards when, you know, Lamar Houston was taking shots at Aaron Rodgers and Pernell McPhee came out later, I think yesterday or the day before, saying how Rodgers had disrespected them after the game in week one, which is absurd. All he said was, like, it's always great to beat the Bears, which it is. He's playing to the base. He's, like, you know, throwing us some red meat. Of course mm-hmm. it is. But, of course, Pernell McPhee took that little slight and did what Rodgers does, took a little small, little insignificant slight and blew it up and made it a big chip on his shoulder. So, and I got to say, as I said on Twitter earlier this week, I like that. I love that Lamar Houston doesn't like Aaron Rodgers. I mean, he really doesn't like Aaron Rodgers, to the point that there was a reporter on the field when Brett Favre hugged Lamar Houston on his way off that reported that Lamar Houston said, I'm going to hurt Aaron for you. Now, he's joking.
I don't like that.
But that's like the level of like disdain Lamar Houston has for Aaron Rodgers. And I don't like that specifically, not even joking about hurting a guy, but I do like that there's a little fire back in the rivalry. I do kind of like that there's a little animosity. You know, it got a little too buddy-buddy there for a little while because we were beating up on him for so many years. And, you know, it does. I mean, I'm pretty sure when the NFL scheduled this game, it was, oh, the Packers will probably win. Yeah. It'll be a great night for Green Bay, welcoming back Brett Favre, blah, 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 blah. Everyone thought it was going to be a layup. Obviously, that scenario and narrative changed as the year went on and the Packers have struggled. But when the schedule was set, you had to think they were thinking this would be a great night for the Packers. Well, didn't quite turn out that way. And like I said, we'll get all into the game. We'll get into everything. But I'm just happy that the rivalry is kind of back.
It still was a great night for the Packers.
Absolutely.
Let's be clear.
I totally agree.
This kind of goes to this whole idea that if the Packers lose, you have a terrible time. I have a serious problem with people who say this, okay? And you're talking to somebody who's been to more away games than most people have ever been to in their life.
That's correct.
Okay? So I have a serious problem with, like, wait, I just spent like $3,000 and now I'm supposed to be depressed? Like, I still had a fun time.
Right.
I just have this, it's so funny the world that we live in where, you know, when it's like win or lose,
right.
it affects you so much.
Yep.
And I'm, you know, I don't
As
know.
As I get older, and I know, try not to allow that to
younger
happen.
Younger me was like that. Younger
yes.
me, it affected.
Me too.
Right?
Me too.
And I just feel like now it's like, no, hold on a second. You know, the Bears want to win too. And this is their Super Bowl, like I said.
I will say this. While I agree with that sentiment, I also am not going to decry anybody for how they feel cheering their team. Like, dude, if it ruins your week, man, have it ruin your week. If it ruins your year, have it ruin your year. That you do you, man. Like, I'm people connect to football
totally.
And or the Packers, however they connect to it. And I'm down. As long as you're not hurting someone else, do it. Yeah, rock and roll, dude.
Yeah, totally.
But as for myself, I'm very much like you in the way that, man, if that whole scenario, Favre's number being retired, Bart Starr is there, we get down to the red zone, and four shots into the end zone, can't get it in. If that had happened when I was 25, I wouldn't be here for this show right now. I can tell you that. I'd be like lost somewhere in the wilds of northern Wisconsin, like wandering with like the remnants of past blue ribbon all over my pants or something. I don't know. Like it I would have taken that very, very hard. But you know, 20 some years later, it's just like I got a bit more perspective.
Well, and I think also, and everybody, okay, here it starts, okay? Hmm? And I think actually this
Are you reading
week,
the chat?
No,
don't
no, no.
read the chat.
No, 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 no. What I'm
we
saying
agreed
is,
on this.
Here's what's going to start, right?
All
right. Is I feel like even more as we get into this season, this team and the way that things are going feels even more like 2010 to me.
Oh, dear.
And not
now
the
you've
team.
Done it. Now you've done it.
But the slump.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Similar slump. Similar timing.
Yeah, kind of. But doesn't it feel a little worse this time?
No.
I mean, don't the struggles feel a little
more
pronounced
here's the thing.
This time?
All it takes is Aaron Rodgers to do a switch, and we're back to 6-0.
It's interesting that you say that, because I wanted to talk about that tonight. We'll wait till we get to the offensive section of the script, because that is in the script. But it's interesting that you say that. And I agree. I agree. We're going to attack that in two different ways during the show tonight. But we got to get there. First, we got to eat our vegetables, And we got to talk about some Packers news.
Okay, and I will say that when Cutler, that did. I did throw the remote. When Cutler was eating things.
You read the chat, didn't you?
Yeah,
you read the fucking chat.
Well, I will say.
I'm not going to read the chat.
No, I never said that.
He reads the chat.
I never said that. I don't know what happened. You just made a straw man and broke him down. When Cutler was eating turkey, that probably was like the most depressed I got. I did throw the remote. It was really sad because I was like, really?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
That's the gig. Lose on Thanksgiving.
I didn't like that.
That's how it rolls. All right, we ready for Packers news, Mr. Read the Chat?
Yes.
All right. We're going to lead with some good news and some bad news. Good news being Jared Abadaris is back at practice. Very exciting. 2 weeks or a little bit so away from his rib/back injury. Back on the practice field. Asked in the locker room if he feels good about playing on Thursday night. Obviously, he's playing coy. Says we'll see how much he can contribute. Got to think he will at least affect a little bit their ability down the field. Showed some promise in the last game against the Lions. On the flip side, Ty Montgomery still out. And I've said this pretty much every week, but if you go back and you watch the San Diego game and you see the play he was injured on, it's no surprise it's taken this long. It was a hellacious injury. I know at first they said it was an ankle injury, but it came out later. It is the high ankle sprain, which is always problematic and always takes forever. So he did try and go 2 weeks ago, and I don't know if he really re-aggravated it as much as it was, he's not ready. So Ty Montgomery's still out, which is so disconcerting and upsetting because he looks so promising early on in the year.
Yeah.
But still, not ready to get back on the field. On the positive side, Corey Linsley, Marius Randle, and Micah Hyde, all back at practice.
That's nice.
That's good. That's good. It's interesting. Lindsley's back. It'd be very interesting to see what happens. You got to assume he's getting his job back. Be very interested to see how the run game operates if Lindsley's back in there.
Well, you don't lose your job to injury, Nagler.
Well, okay. Yeah, welcome to 1975. That's not been true for how many years now?
Yeah, but it doesn't mean the coaches don't say it.
I know. Yeah, absolutely. Speaking of coaches and saying stuff, Coach said he gave Julius Peppers the day off. I was like, how can you tell? It's just like Sunday. I mean, Julius Peppers has been MIA for a number of weeks now.
Yeah.
So they gave him his first day off as a Packer in regards to practice. He hasn't missed a practice, hasn't, been on the injury report, hasn't missed a day since signing with the Packers. And so they gave him the day off 2 days ago. We'll see if that maybe gives him a little juice in the legs. Who knows? Because he needs something. He needs to turn it on.
Yeah.
He needs to make just a play. I'm not asking for plays, plural. I'm just asking for a play. Last year in Detroit, he made a huge play down in the red zone.
All it takes is one.
Where he just absolutely destroyed the right tackle, stripped the ball from Stafford, and recovered the fumble that he created. He needs something like that. Just a play. That's all I ask. And then finally, Andrew Corliss, back in the mix, back at practice, gets a year probation for that little stunt he pulled on July 4th. Now that that has been settled, the NFL will begin their investigation. Have to think they will merit out some kind of punishment along the way, although I will be shocked if it happens this year.
Here's what's going to happen. They're going to suspend him for one game. He's going to appeal it, and the appeal's going to go away.
The appeal will be a half a game, so then he'll have to sit out a half. That's what it'll be. So anyway, now you're up to date with your Packers news.
Riddle me this, Batman.
What's that?
Okay, that play in overtime that Denver ran against New England that looked surprisingly like the Packers sweep, although it was to the weak side.
It's like on your shirt, only in
we'll
reverse.
We'll talk about that in a second.
Right.
Can the Packers run that play? Because I would love to see that play.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
they could.
Can we?
They absolutely could.
When's the last time we ran that play?
It's been a while. Now, they've run tosses with sweep-like elements, like pulling guards and centers and et cetera.
That would be sweet.
But they have the fact that that play ran to the weak side with two pulling linemen out of, like, and the fact that Osweiler called a freaking audible into that is just awesome. But he was under center. There was a fullback in the backfield. Like, all this stuff that the Packers never do anymore.
Mm.
And now you look at the Bears game.
How come we have a fullback, but we don't put the fullback in the...
Hey, here's a great segue. This is our first point about the offense from last Thursday night. Eddie Lacy, looking fantastic with John Kuhn in front of him. James Starks comes in, provides his proverbial spark, looking great in both the run and screen game. Everything's going well. Eddie Lacy averaged 6.2 yards per carry. James Starks averaged 5.6 yards per carry. Aaron Rodgers threw the ball 43 times. These three things do not go together. And we've all said it, and we all get told we can't talk about play calling. But sometimes, it's the blatantly obvious answer is blatantly obvious for a reason.
Who says you can't talk about play calling?
You do all the time.
Vic Ketchman?
We'll get to that later.
Oh, okay.
So I'm just, you know,
no, I don't say you can't talk about play calling. I say you shouldn't talk about specific play calling. But overall, you're talking about something strategic,
like game
overall,
plans and
right?
Flow, game flow, et cetera, et cetera.
But you're talking about, okay, you're talking about three stats that don't work. I get that. You know, I will say, like, when you look at probably one of my least favorite tweets I've ever made in my whole life, which is like incomplete, incomplete, incomplete,
oh,
incomplete.
Man. Yeah.
Game over, turnover on downs.
Yeah.
I do and I don't understand it from a game clock management perspective. And so that's really difficult when you get into that mode of, like, you're doing clock management. It's harder to get back into the run.
Yeah, I'm not sure I'd buy that.
Because what, we had 1:23 left on the clock or something like that?
Yeah, but I'm not even talking then. I'm talking, like, you know, third, fourth quarter.
No, I know. I'm just, I saw a lot of people
and,
that were talking
the other
about
thing,
that
the other thing
moment.
That kind of bothered me is that there are so many instances in that game where they're going out of shotgun and they're going out of, like, there's a third and one where they run Lacy up the middle out of the shotgun, and McPhee comes screaming down the line unblocked. Just stuff like that. Now, you can say that's execution, but yeah, it's also not putting your guys in a position to succeed.
Yeah.
You don't need to watch much more than a few games to know that Eddie Lacy runs exponentially better behind a fullback out of either the eye or a split eye or anything where he's behind the quarterback. And
yeah,
the fullback.
Yeah.
He is a better rhythm for him. The line works better. Everything in the run game works better in that regard. Now, has he had success out of the shotgun? Has he had success with a tight end in motion into the line on the stretch play? Has he had success in that regard? Absolutely. Those plays have worked, and there's a place for them. But this continual placing of Eddie Lacy into the shotgun and asking him to run either a sprint zone on third and two or to run straight ahead out of the shotgun on third and one with nobody in front of him.
Yeah.
It's just madness.
Yeah.
It's just madness.
Yeah.
The idea, the Einstein, you know,
well, you're not tricking
do the same thing over
on,
and over again.
Yeah, you're not
it's
tricking
madness.
Anybody on third and one by doing
at all.
That.
And it's been a staple for McCarthy for how many years and how many years. It's like the three-man rush of offense. And it's driving me insane.
And that is, honestly, that's one trend that we cannot seem to buck right now, which is we are not getting it done on third and two and third and one.
No, third down's killing
at
them.
At all.
It's killing them.
But the short yardage
yes.
third down, the ones where it's like, it should just be a no-brainer. I mean, if you're gonna run it, if you're going to run like that,
get
just
the fullback
play
in
action
there.
And screw okay. running it. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, it's kind of half-assing the run.
Oh,
it's like, hey, I'm not going to run it in your face. I'm going
right.
to allow
I'm
you
trying
to have...
trick you.
I'm gonna try to trick you with my formation,
yeah.
and then I'm going to allow you to penetrate my line.
Exactly. Yeah, it just drives me nuts. So anyway, moving on. Andrew Corliss, as we mentioned, back at practice. But anyone, and I think Tom Silverstein had a great kind of piece on this morning in the JS Online. He had a great overview of how Andrew Corliss is not a savior. And I don't think anyone's, you know, realistically thinking that Andrew Corliss is going to come in and light it up and turn into, you know, even Tyler Eifert or something. But, I mean, he will help. There's no doubt about that when he sees the field. And there's no guarantee that he will be on the field Thursday night. But he will help just by being another guy that they can put in the mix who may be able to catch the football. Or maybe able to make a move after he catches it.
I would really like it if Richard Rodgers was watching the New England game.
Right.
And I really wish that he would, like, copy Rob Gronkowski.
Well, yeah, every tight end should copy Rob Gronkowski. But
talking,
nobody's built like Rob
I'm
Gronkowski.
I'm talking specifically, right?
Right.
You should look and copy because this whole OPI thing is insane.
Yeah.
But honestly, they're not calling it. So every tight end
right.
should do that.
Well, okay, here's the thing. Now, Rob Gronkowski would tell you, and he, I think, tweeted today that they are calling it and they are targeting him.
No.
But he, but
they're
he's
not
very,
calling it. He's well, been no, called for it five times, no, and he's done thing. It like 100 times.
I was going to say, he very much is following the Seattle blueprint from a couple years ago in the Legion of Boom. They can't call it every play.
Nope.
Now, but here's what I'll say about that. We can all get high and mighty about Rob Gronkowski on the push-off, but go watch Jordy Nelson sometime.
Oh, yeah.
No one has mastered the ability to create separation with a slight use of his arm than Jordy Nelson.
Of course.
Look,
I'm not. I'm saying that what Rob Gronkowski does
doing,
is,
I know exactly.
I'm not knocking.
He's creating leverage.
Why can't Richard Rodgers copy that?
Exactly. I agree. Also, look
if
at the Monday night game.
If we can't get open because we're fast, right. Then let's be thugs.
Yeah. Well, let's just be crafty. I'm down with that. I'm all down with that.
Let's just push people.
Look at Gary Barnage last night. He got Will Hill on a double move that was so beautiful. And Gary Barnage is an old, slow, white dude. He can create separation. No reason anybody on the Packers can't. Of course, you got to call that route, but that's another thing. Next up, now here we go. Now let's get down to it. All right, let's get right down to it. We mentioned it earlier in the open. I said, oh, we're going to get to it a little bit. We'll get to it here, and we'll get to it again later in the blogosphere. But Aaron Rodgers needs to play better, period. Thursday night against the Bears was one of the worst games I've ever seen Aaron Rodgers play. And now I already know what everyone's going to come back with in regards to they got to catch the football.
That's true, though. Know, they do have to catch the football.
Absolutely have to catch the football. That doesn't change the fact that Aaron Rodgers is playing poorly.
No.
Doesn't change it.
But there's a mix of things.
You can say, exactly. There's a mix of things. Aaron is part of that mix.
Yes.
And he is not playing well.
No.
In fact, he's kind of playing like shit.
But then you go to the other extreme. I've literally seen people, and I've called them out on Twitter. You see the other extreme where people are like, Aaron Rodgers is only going to win one Super Bowl, and that's all he's ever...
That's just nonsense.
It's just nonsense.
That's just nonsense.
Like, the greatest
players...
First of
all, we can't tell the future, but second of all, because, like, he's got so many years left.
Yeah.
Just relax, people.
And the other thing is, like, you don't know... Like, a slump is a slump is a slump. The greatest pitchers had slumps. Babe mm-hmm. Ruth had a slump.
Yeah, yeah.
The greatest runners have had slumps. Adrian Peterson's had a slump. Like, that's life.
I hear you, dude.
If you can't, you know, you can't just be great all the time. Even Michael Jordan wasn't great all the time.
Just most of the time.
Most of the time he was. But, you know, not all of
but
the time.
But not all the time. Yeah,
so
yeah.
There's clearly something going on. And who knows? In some ways, I feel like some of this could actually be a negative feedback loop where,
right.
You know, you're trying to trust guys. They let you down because they drop balls. They continuously right. don't get open. They continuously right. drop key third down plays
yep.
and key plays in the game. You start to lose your own confidence in yourself because you've lost the trust of the other people
absolutely.
Because they're letting you down. And what happens
and
is...
And that's before we even get to the line
it starts,
and protection.
Yeah. And then, you can't call a five-step drop because you're going to... So it starts feeding up upon itself. And yes. all it's going to take is, you know, a click here... A click there, you know, and it's going to start barreling down.
And this is where play calling comes into it. And we'll get to that in the blogosphere section. But remind me, because that does get into it. All right. So then we got, speaking of, segueing into our next point here on the offense, Davante Adams and James Jones. Look, no more excuses. No more can be said that hasn't been said. And everybody knows it, including James Jones and Davante Adams. But they have got to capitalize on their opportunities. And until they do, nothing is going to work in the passing game for the Packers. Like, you can do everything else. Aaron Rodgers can start playing well. The line can start, you know, making amazing pockets. You know, they can start going play action and getting guys deep. Whatever you want to say, other than James Jones and Davante Adams capitalizing on opportunities.
Well, where has James Jones been? Is he even
in,
on the field
in the
anymore?
Opposing secondary being covered.
I mean...
Look, I saw somebody on my feed today in my mentions made an apt comparison in that James Jones is a lot like Anquan Boldin. What little speed he ever had is gone. he's always going to be covered. The only balls he's ever going to get are the ones where he's guy has to make a contested catch. Now, Rodgers doesn't throw those unless he gets a free play.
Yeah.
But...
yeah, because he doesn't want to take the risk.
If James Jones is covered, Rodgers isn't going to throw that. The off chance that James Jones maybe has a 15-yard comeback, a dig route, a smash route, even a slant, something like that, those are the balls we're talking about. He has got to capitalize on those opportunities. Because if he doesn't, they're not going anywhere. They're not going anywhere. And the same goes for Adams. And Adams is just one of the all-time busts as far as off-season superstars go.
Yeah.
I mean, we all remember this summer how McCarthy and Rodgers were talking this cat up. Hell, I mean, we had people contacting us about Davante Adams.
Yeah.
I mean, we were all ready for this big breakout star. Now, goodness knows, and they asked Rodgers about it at his locker earlier this week, the first thing Rodgers went to was, it's always hard to fight through an injury. And we all know Adams was injured earlier in the year. And it was very apparent his first game back after the injury that he was still a little bit limited. That next week, 2 weeks ago, I thought his explosion seemed to be back. He seemed cutting better, et cetera, et cetera. But, I mean, he is at a historic rate of awfulness the last 2 weeks. And that's just got to change.
I mean,
he's the only one who can do it.
But here's my issue, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, rank Adams, Abradaris, Janice.
In regards to what?
Just specimens.
Specimens?
Will any of them become a number one wide receiver, in your opinion? Or have the potential physical...
Right, I got you. Adams, Abradaris, and who else?
Janice.
And Janice? Will any of them become a number one wide receiver?
Yep.
Not prototypically, no. No. That's not going to happen. I mean, Adams... the best Adams could be, I think Adams' ceiling is very Greg Jennings-esque, you know? And yes, Jennings was a, you know, de facto number one.
I was about to say, Jennings was a number one.
But he wasn't a number one in the way that you think of the classic, like Sterling Sharp mode, or even like modern day Dez Bryant.
Dez Bryant, you know, I was going
to
say Dez
AJ
Bryant.
AJ Green, etc. But he doesn't need to be in this offense.
So
the whole idea is to
okay.
spread things around and okay. then take advantage of those opportunities when they present themselves, which is what Greg Jennings did, which is what Davante Adams could be doing. But isn't. That's all I got to say about that.
But I guess where I'm going with this is, like, you know, everybody's like, okay, Adams had his chance. Put Janice.
No.
And that's what I'm saying, physical specimen-wise. Like,
Janice has speed. That's what he's got
going
for him. But
Davante Adams has the most upside of any receiver on our team besides Randall Cobb.
I totally agree with that.
Right?
Absolutely. No question. Although I think Montgomery could be in that mix if he ever got healthy and he ever got on the field. The problem with Montgomery is he's never going to blow by anybody. But he's big, he's strong.
Yeah, but who cares?
He runs good routes, you know.
There's plenty of guys that are built like him
that
are very successful. Like he's like a Matt Forte, right?
But this whole case, let's since we're here, let's address the Janice thing, all right? First of all, I put up a vine earlier this week.
Oh, your lazy route vine?
My lazy route vine.
That was really funny.
Man, the responses
the hate
to
you
this,
got off that.
I tell you what, the responses to that vine was a Rorschach test, like, for Packer fans. Like, if you love Janice, man, I'm just a hater for putting that up. It's clear that it doesn't matter. He's open. Never mind that the safety comes into the frame at the last second, so obviously Janice would have gotten blown up to hell, but, you know, whatever. Or if you hate Janice and you hate the idea of Janice and you think it's stupid that people are even talking about Janice, it was like, look at that awful route. This guy sucks. He's never going to be anything. It's so stupid to even think about giving him a chance. Look, people. The only reason I posted that was to give you an idea of the kind of things that Rodgers and McCarthy and everyone are talking about when they're talking about trust and they're talking about preparation and they're talking about execution. Now, I'll give it. Someone pointed out, yes, very muddy track. It was very wet on Thursday night. Janice didn't have a ton of time on the field. He's adjusting. I get all that.
Just as wet for the Bears.
Exactly. Exactly. And Jeffrey's out there running after he's had like four different injuries this year. He's out there making precise cuts. I don't want to hear about the field. That's your job as a professional. Get out there, know what the field is, and make a cut.
I think what's funny...
Whoa, let me finish
this. I'm sorry.
Let me finish this. So, yes, all these extraneous things. Like, it's not about he sucks or he's the next Jordy Nelson, which he's not. But it's about why things happen, why it takes time, why you don't... It's not Madden. You don't just put him in there and he runs the route the exact same way as the other guy. That's not how it works. This guy is so young and so raw, it's going to take time. Are we seeing flashes? Have we seen flashes? Did we see flashes in the San Diego game? Absolutely. Both of those, on broken plays.
We saw it in his coming out game.
His coming out game. I love that. But I'm just saying.
Like,
it was just an example. That vine is just an example of why it takes time. It wasn't a declaration. It wasn't a condemnation. It wasn't an exaltation. It was one play and one example. I just hate how everyone has to make it into something.
Well, you made it into something.
I said it was a lazy-ass route because it was a lazy-ass route. That's all it was. That's all it was. It was a declaration of one route, one play.
Here's the thing about Janice. Are you done now?
All right, go ahead.
Thanks. I appreciate that.
sorry, I just had to get that off my chest.
Here's the thing that's interesting about Janice to me, and people are going to think I'm crazy, but they already think I'm crazy, so I don't care. But there's something about, and Aberderis is kind of the same way, but Janice especially, it's like people have pinned their hopes and dreams. Like, I want, okay, let's lay this out. I want Jeff Janice, Davante Adams, and Aberderis to be the greatest Packers to ever play the game. And if they are, I will think that is the most amazing,
awesome
thing. I will get their jerseys.
We'll write songs about it.
Exactly. Okay, so let's just put
let's just put that
up on the shelf, right? And here's where we are, right? I think what's amazing this season is people have pinned, like, their hopes and dreams on this guy.
Yeah,
to be the savior of their world, like Jesus. Seriously. Like, it's not like he's going to win the Super Bowl. It's like he's going to save us from ourselves. And that is where
That's where you part company.
I'm like, really, people? Really?
Oh, wow. I gotta move this over here. Keep turning around. I gotta keep my forward face. You know, look at the camera.
You don't have anything to say to that?
I think that's maybe a tad over the top, but
I don't. Have you seen
it's
some
only
of the-
exactly? I was just about to say, but only because I think you're reacting to what we see day in and day out on social media. So yeah, I get what you're saying.
And not only what you see on social media, if you listen to any radio show that has call-ins, if you listen to anybody in Wisconsin, it's literally like, why doesn't McCarthy put in Janice? What are they waiting for?
Oh, my gosh. Oh, and you know what was great?
Got one more thing to talk about.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Go ahead.
Oh, this is it. Okay, this is the last thing I'm going to say about the passing game. And you'll notice in the offensive section here, we're talking exclusively about the passing game. Because I haven't got time to talk about the running game, because I love the running game. I love what's going on. I'll be very interested to see what happens if and when they insert Lindsley back into the lineup. But right now, we're talking about the passing game, because it's been dysfunctional. And to me, there's not, I wouldn't say it's an easy fix, but there's an obvious thing they need to be doing. And I'm not talking, it's not necessarily, it's more game plan than game call, or game play calling. They need to run the offense through, feature, absolutely double down on getting the ball to Randall Cobb.
Yeah.
Now, and I know, you know, he's been doubled at times. I know there are so many ways they could be working him open. There'd be so many ways they could be force feeding him the ball. And I thought they were going to start doing that on Thursday night. But again, just when you thought it was, here comes the shotgun run for no yardage.
Well, and that, there's
they need to feature Randall Cobb no matter what the coverage is, no matter what. I mean, I'm not talking quite Randy ratio from back in the day with the Vikings, but close. If they're going to pass the ball, the first thing they got to be doing is working Cobb open.
Well, and to your point earlier about the yards per game for Starks and for Lacy,
right?
You know, the Packers were doing this thing that everybody thought was so cute, having Cobb in the backfield.
Yeah, right.
And they've completely gone away from it.
Yeah, they've sprinkled it in like occasionally, but it's never like, it never seems to be a package where they've gone to it for a whole drive.
Like a feature.
Now, to be fair, the problem is that when they've done that in the past, they've they've gone to Cobb in the backfield. They've had three other receivers on the field, and they've gotten rolling. Well, now they've got Cobb in the backfield, and maybe they hand it to him. They get a couple yards. They go back to the second down, and then there's an incomplete pass.
But here's my here's
so it
here's
breaks
the thing,
up
though.
The continuity
but here's
the
thing,
no
right?
Huddle.
When is the right. last time? Okay.
Right.
Okay. Here's what you see. Right. Mm-hmm. Lacy, and you know, they'll go four with Lacy. Right.
Yeah.
Starks. Well, right. Yeah. They feed him. You don't see that with anybody else. And with Cobb, that's what you need to see.
I completely
you have to commit.
Agree.
You have to say, hey, I'm doing this no matter what.
This is what we're going to
do. This is what I'm doing.
This is
that's
who
what they
we're
do with Lacy.
Ride.
That's what they do with
it's
Charles
like what
Starks.
It's like what they did with Sterling Sharp back in the day. What Holmgren did with Sharp, where he just fed him the ball.
Yeah, who cares if he wins the route? Throw him the freaking ball.
And well, okay. Well, you know that's not going to happen with Rodgers. But that's my point. And that's what we'll get to again. Later on in the show, we're going to talk
There's
about...
There's no later
we're
on,
not,
Nagler.
We're not supposed to be talking about play calling,
we're
but
almost,
you can talk about play calling in this regard.
Wait, we're finishing on offense, though.
I know. Well, it's done. I'm done.
Okay, now we're on defense?
No. First, we're going to talk about our friends at Legends of the Field.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Because that's what we got to do, because they're so awesome!
They are awesome, actually.
I got to tell you, we've collaborated with Legends of the Field. We're giving away tons of stuff throughout the year on the game day live blogs. It's pretty hot. It's
Dude,
pretty
this
hopping.
Lady just won a field goal.
Goalposts?
Goal, no, the what the kicking little plastic thing you kick a football.
A tee?
The tee, yeah, the tee. Sorry. Too much Wisco Disco. Woo! Yeah, she won a signed tee from us over the weekend. From See? Legends of the Field.
So there you go, people.
So, yeah, basically if you follow Cheesehead TV, you can win stuff all the time. And because so few people follow Cheesehead TV,
exactly.
you have a really good chance of winning.
It's you and like four other people. So you're going to win. That's all we're saying. But yeah, check them out. Legendsofthefield.com. It's everything you could ever want as a Packer fan. I mean, you just heard it. A freaking signed tee. Where else are you going to get a signed tee other than legendsofthefield.com? Or if you just happen to bump into Mason Crosby with a tee in your hand. I mean, do it, people. Go to Legends of the Field. Think of the most outlandish, craziest, minute kind of... minuscule thing, Packers related that you want, they've got.
They have it, and they have all these new stretch canvases of Bart and Brett together.
So great,
it's
so
really
great.
Cool. They're really cool. They have a good business model. I should have, you know, before I started Cheesehead
Why
TV,
did we start
I should have
Cheesehead
been like,
TV,
I've thought about this. I've been like, wow, Legends of the Field. They're really.
Why did we do that?
Why did I start a blog? Wah, wah. Oh, and I just want to comment about somebody on the chat.
Oh,
yes,
boy. Here we go.
There is a crazy in every crowd. I do know this, and all we do on this show is point out the crazies, but for some reason...
Wait,
okay,
is this in regards to the Janus thing?
Yes.
Let me tell you right now, there's more than one!
Well, and here's what I was going to say, is basically...
There's more than one, people!
Not only is there more than one, but Jeff Janus, and it's not Jeff Janus' fault, okay... But Jeff Janus brings out the crazies almost as much as Trump brings out the crazies. Just going to say it. Just put that up there.
Slow down.
And we just lost all our Trump.
Slow.
We just lost all our Trump supporters.
All
so.
Two of them.
Bye-bye.
Slow down on that. Have you watched him? Have
it's
you
close.
Seen him? Have you seen him interviewed?
It's close.
Have you seen him interviewed?
Jeff Janus?
Yeah.
No.
Dude, he's like 12. Like, you watch him in the locker room interviews, and this guy's like 12 years old. It's like we've got Calvin from Calvin and Hobbes playing wide receiver for the Green Bay Packers. I mean, I recognize this partly because I'm like ancient now and I feel like older and older as each year goes by yeah, and new guys come in and they look 12.
Dude, you're older than Matt Hasselbeck.
I know, but dude.
I'm not, by the way.
But dude.
By the way.
Janus, he looks 12. That's all I'm saying. All right. Should we talk about the defense?
Yeah. But you already talked about Peppers. But
do we have
it
to?
Up again.
Do we have to talk about the defense? I mean,
I thought the defense.
They're
did.
Playing well. That's my point. Like, they're playing well. So
the
let's
defense
not, let's
had
not jinx
an
it.
Almost great game.
Yeah. Yeah.
Had that's, they stopped one drive, we would have won.
Yeah,
and it was only one
like,
drive that killed us, honestly.
But it was the Lions game all over again. They did their job. They held them to 17 points. If they hold a team to 17 points, the Packers should win that game.
But if they would have had that one drive
still,
stop.
Just make a play and then win the game. Yeah. I get you. I understand.
And there still are. Here's the thing. Like, you know, watching Tremont in that Browns game,
right?
It really hurt my feelings. you know,
only because he made an interception.
I kind of feel
you
like,
missed earlier in the game when he got beat, so don't worry about it.
Yeah, but I kind of feel like, can you imagine if we had Tremont on our team right now? One,
yeah,
one.
I don't think that much would be different.
I think it would. I think we probably would have won two more games.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes, because we would have had INT.
Down.
We had one pick six.
Does Tremont play wide receiver? Because if not, no, I don't think so.
Okay, I'm sorry, Nagler. We've had three we've had three games that have come down to really close plays.
No, I know, I agree.
And one pick six could have been the difference in the game.
How many pick sixes did he have last year? How many has he had this year? You're living off Atlanta for a little too long here, all right?
I'm just saying.
I mean, it is a great idea.
You don't know.
And we don't, I mean, I can't tell you how many times you and I have tweeted,
you don't know.
Here comes the Tremont Williams pick six. Like, pretty much every game Tremont played in after Atlanta.
I did it twice and it happened.
I know, I'm just saying.
You also did it.
You also did it 50 other times where it didn't happen. That's all I'm saying.
I'm just saying.
I know. I recognize this. I understand.
You could have paid the man. We're under the cap.
Dude, just stop.
Okay?
Just stop. Just stop. But we're going to need that money. You know why? To pay Mike Daniels, who deserves to be paid.
Yeah, I agree. And Mike Neal deserves to get
paid. But, you know, there's a guy who got paid named Julius Peppers who needs to show up. And I'm not going to belabor this point because I talked about it earlier, but, I mean, it feels like a fortnight since this guy made a play. I mean, it feels like a very long time since Peppers made a play.
Isn't a fortnight only like 14 weeks?
Sure. Isn't 14 weeks like almost an entire football season?
I was just trying to go back to my Shakespeare days to figure out what a fortnight was.
There you go.
Is it 14 days or 14 weeks?
I don't know. I'm sure somebody on the chat will know.
Nobody knows on the chat, Nagler. Who do you think watches this program?
They're going to Google. Don't worry about it. Look at us.
2 weeks.
See, there you go.
Yeah, 14 days.
14 days.
That's what I thought it was.
But it's been a long time since this guy made a play.
Dude, Rusty like knows everything. Rusty's like calling me out because I don't know what a T is.
Okay, you're talking. It's live. He just goes up on a word. Dude, relax. That's the thing that drives me nuts when people are like, I'm broadcasters, like during games, when they talk about Phil Sims, and yes, Phil Sims says some idiotic stuff.
Phil Sims is the worst broadcaster in the history of broadcasting.
This is my point, right? Like, people say that stuff on Twitter, like live. I get it if someone's like saying dumb stuff, blah, 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 blah. But like, they say it about everybody for every stupid little, every infinitesimal slip up. It's like, oh my God, what a huge mistake.
But
he just went up on a word.
But
it's
slow
no
down.
Big deal.
You used the wrong example because Phil Sims,
I know, I'm just
inside
saying,
the
he
NFL,
gets all the vitriol.
Is not live.
I know.
And he's terrible on that.
I know. I know.
He literally, you want to talk about me living on Atlanta game? Phil Sims is living on the fact that he said, I want to go to Disneyland after the Super Bowl. That is his entire career.
Well, I think 20 for 22 in the Super Bowl and bringing home a championship is
whatever Phil Sims says. I said this on Twitter. If Phil Sims says something, do the opposite.
So now that we get the Phil Sims section out of the way.
I can't stand Phil Sims. I'd rather listen to Troy Aikman all day than Phil Sims.
Micah Hyde is back. I'm not necessarily sure that he's needed. Corey Behnke. He's back at practice.
He's needed.
I'm not sure that's the truth. Especially in a game that features a couple of tight ends that could do some damage. I'm not sure, man. Hyde's been targeted quite a little bit by opponents this year, especially whether it's the red zone or whether it's just with tight ends in general. And he has not fared well. Now, I'm not saying like Rollins is going to come in and step in and make it all good or the Banjo is going to be the Band-Aid / answer that they need. But I'm not sure rushing Micah Hyde back there is exactly needed. Now, I'm not saying it's a bad or good thing. I'm just not sure it's needed. That's all I want to say.
I mean,
it's been a rough year for Micah Hyde.
It has.
That's, you know, neither here nor there. Speaking of, covering people, the linebackers this week. Godspeed, gentlemen, because this angle route that the Lions like to run, they've kind of made their bread and butter where the running back comes out of the backfield like he's going to run into the flat. And then takes an angle back into the middle of the field. Riddick from Detroit has made guys look absolutely silly with it for the last 3 or 4 weeks. It has become their bread and butter play, and they are killing. And they ran it a couple times against the Packers last year, but this year, this is like their play. And Riddick absolutely destroyed Kendricks from Philadelphia for a touchdown on this play. And you look at Nate Palmer, you look at Clay Matthews, even Joe Thomas in coverage, it's going to be a long
day. Please don't talk about linebackers.
It's going to be a long
Nagler,
day.
Will you throw up if Micah Hyde is covering Reddick?
Yep, probably. No, probably.
I don't want to see that.
Probably lose my lunch.
There is no way on God's green earth
mm-hmm.
that the Lions beat us, by the way.
All right, we'll get to predictions or later.
FYI.
Predictions or later.
The likelihood of an NFC North team winning out is mm-hmm. rare.
Mm, okay.
Yeah, FYI.
I'll buy that.
In the annals of the NFC Central and North.
That's disgusting. Did you say annals? All right, you ready?
Nope.
Okay. Whenever you're ready.
But what about the Instagram? Mm.
Well, I was going to play it on the other side, but you can play it here. This is all good. This is an oldie but a goodie that I just kind of love.
We're playing, we'll do it on the flip side.
This week in the Packer blogosphere.
That's right. It's This Week in the Packer blogosphere, the return of that venerable series.
It never went away.
You guys kind of faded out that time. Well done.
No, I didn't fade it out. I just let it go longer and then, yeah.
And then killed it.
Yep.
So here we are, This Week in the Packer blogosphere. This week, first of all, I wanted to show on the Instagram because coming next week on NFL Network is the Brett Favre Timeline feature. It's this new show that they're producing called Timeline, which deals with events throughout the NFL, et cetera, et cetera. And their first one is Brett Favre's divorce and reconciliation with Green Bay. And in it, they sent me an advanced copy. And I for years, I've known that this footage that we're about to show existed. I've mentioned it on Twitter.
You finally found
it. But I couldn't find it anywhere on the internet. They have done a great job of like scrubbing it. There's no YouTube of it. There's nothing on any of the official channels. Like, nowhere did it exist. Until I saw it in this special today. This is at the height of Brett Favre mania after the bringbackbrettfavre.com dudes or .net or whatever they were held their rally. This was that rally where Ted Thompson came downstairs to talk to people who were so upset about the fact that Brett Favre was not going to be the starting quarterback with Green Bay. And this gentleman here had something to say to Ted.
Roger. And then you got Brett Favre, who will take you to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I'm just saying, we're not going to talk about that.
Rodgers, who the only place he's going to take you to is the Curling Bowl. And then you got Brett Favre, who will take you to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I'm just saying, we're not going to talk about that.
I mean, that's how you know Ted Thompson is a saint, because he didn't just punch that dude. And can I just say, if you're watching,
he's not watching.
I just need to know. Or if you're listening later, or if one of your relatives contacts you and says, hey, those two dudes in New York are talking about you, I gotta know. Do you own a Rodgers jersey now?
No, he does.
Or do you own two of them? That's my only question. Do you only own the home one, or do you have home and away?
He's got home and away and throwback, dude. Come on.
I'm just asking.
Come on. I'm just, yeah.
I mean, that right there is exactly, like, that's the quintessential
Rodgers.
Capturing.
I'm going to take you to the toilet bowl.
Of the, you know, feel of the fans around that time period in Green Bay.
My favorite part is the pause where he's like, and Favre will take you to the
Super Bowl. What's that thing called?
Oh, that's good. That's good stuff.
By the way, don't forget, this is literally the next summer after Brett Favre has thrown an interception to basically throw away a chance at going to the Super Bowl. That's all I'm going to say about that.
The other thing we want to talk about is I am actually wearing, Aaron is not wearing his that he got.
It's warm in here, dude.
But
it's awesome.
I am wearing
it is awesome.
The sweep shirt. We talked about it last week. Fred Thurston, the
Grandson
of
Fuzzy,
the famous guard Fuzzy Thurston for the
unbelievable
World Championship and Super Bowl Packers of the renowned Vince Lombardi. He sent us these shirts. This is the sweep shirt that I'm wearing. You can get them at pngclothingco.com. Here is the Fuzzy's Bear Busters. Obviously, it didn't happen on Thursday. and then he's got the 6-times world champ. And one other thing I want to mention that I just found out and I didn't save, but I asked my girlfriend if we could actually do this. I'm thinking about making an investment.
Oh, no.
For some reason, and I don't know why, Jerry Kramer is putting up for auction his Super Bowl I ring which is estimated at $100,000.
Right.
He's putting up his world championship, I believe the 1962 ring, which actually I covet more,
right,
is estimated at $30,000, and two game-worn Super Bowl world championship jerseys.
What?
I got this postcard from Heritage Auctions, and literally the four items are the number one thing. Okay, so what you can get me for Christmas this year, if you can't afford the Super Bowl one ring, I'll take the world championship ring.
I understand.
But I literally was like, this is a great investment, because if I buy this ring for $30,000 and I sell it in 20 years, it's going to be worth like $250,000.
You know, you shouldn't have done the apps. You should have just bought the ring.
Dude!
That's pretty hot. That is pretty hot.
Dude,
I can't believe he's
Jerry
selling them.
Kramer's Super Bowl one ring? Are you kidding me?
That's insanity. I can't believe it.
I saw that last night. I got the postcard because, you know, as I'm wont to do, I actually am people might not know this about me, but I'm actually a very diehard Packer collector. And
I think they know.
I got some pretty nice pieces. I especially like Packer bulletins. They're one of my favorite things.
God.
One of my goals in life is to be, you know how Pawn Stars on the show Pawn Stars?
I've read about Pawn Stars, never watched.
Okay. Well, basically they'll be like, oh, I don't know how much this is worth. Let's bring in an expert. Okay.
Right.
So I want to be so meta. I want to be the expert you bring in when you need to value 1918 to 1945 Packer memorabilia.
I think you're well on your way.
And I don't really want to go. Like,
did you ever buy
45 to 62? There's a lot of experts.
Weren't
on that.
You looking at buying the menu at the diner that Lombardi is at?
No, I don't have the menu. I have the ashtray.
No, I know you have the ashtray,
yeah.
But didn't you look at buying the wall menu?
Yes. No, that's
at the diner. He's eating like a
Snoozers. Snoozers.
I don't remember the name. I just remember there's that famous picture where he's at the diner.
Yep.
And then they have the menu.
I believe
and
it's
you were
Snoozers.
Buy that menu.
He used to go there for breakfast.
Right.
And it's actually on Highway 52 or with the highway. It used to be there.
Somewhere.
It's gone now. It's called Sneezers or Snoozers. I think it's Sneezers actually.
Right.
And I have an ashtray from that. That's actually very valuable. And I didn't even show you this.
No.
I bought this
pen
from the Packer Hall of Fame. It's one of those pens from the '60s where the receiver's inside the pen, and when you turn it, the receiver goes
up and down.
You don't even want to know what I paid for that.
I don't.
I did not pay Jerry Kramer Super Bowl ring prices,
but you paid.
I paid, and Rachel goes, that's stupid. And I put it in my drawer. She's like, no, what are you putting in your drawer for? And I'm like, because I might want to use it.
I gave her my heart. She gave me a pen. All right. Now we're going to talk about the blogosphere, or one particular point in the blogosphere that kind of sums up kind of how I'm, you know, feeling. And not because of anything you wrote, but I think it's a good jumping off point. Just because someone, They tweeted it to me.
Tweeted?
Yeah, you know, they tweeted me something, and I just wanted to kind of address it. Because I think, you know, people, like I was saying earlier, people want to kind of make outstanding condemnations, declarations, sweeping generalizations, etc., about things that are just way too complicated to be doing that about. So here's Vic Ketchman, your old friend.
Ooh,
and pal.
Who's that?
Play calling. Apparently, Vic kind of, you know, lost it with somebody in his column. There's, you know, question and answer session there at Packers.com. I get it. His inbox is undoubtedly inundated. I know my mentions are, so I can only imagine what his inbox is like.
Isn't that his job, though?
But it is. It is. Okay. But here's what he wrote, and I want to kind of jump off from him. So I'm going to read it in full. So just bear with me. All right. This is Vic Ketchman. I had to stop the play calling stuff. It not only was dominating my inbox, it was giving the column in the comments section a terrible look. It's not just Packer fans, it's all fans. The constant scheme analysis on NFL Network has caused this. Frankly, I'm really disappointed in NFL Network for causing this mania. It's over the top. Every play can be analyzed
with a they should have done this mentality. What I want Packer fans to understand is they couldn't ask for a better collection of strategists than the men who coach this team. They have a reputation around the league for pencil whipping their opponents. Bill Belichick made a point of congratulating Mike McCarthy following last year's game. Everyone is asking what's wrong with the Packers passing game. If you pay attention, you'll hear the answers. They've missed some throws, run some bad routes, and dropped some passes. Aaron Rodgers didn't see Randall Cobb open in the goal line in Carolina. It was a great play call. Cobb was isolated on a defender against Detroit, had achieved wide separation from the defender, and the pass was on the money. It might have gone for a touchdown, but the pass was dropped. It was a great play call. Davante Adams was isolated on a defender against Chicago and had separated so widely he probably would have scored had he caught the ball. It was a great play call. Later in the game, a Rodgers interception was the result of a bad route. It was a simple slant, and my inbox begs for slants as much as the result of a bad route. Inbox begs for a slant as much as it does for screens. Eliminate the missed throws, the bad routes, and the drop passes, and everything will be fine. It's not the play calling or the scheme. Now, I agree with a lot of that. I totally disagree about the NFL Network having caused this mania, because the NFL Network barely touches on scheme stuff.
Hey, Vic Ketchman, that's not good television. Hello.
Anyway. However, there does come a point where you have to look at everything, including play calling, including game planning, and how it is affecting the performance of the players on the field. And what I think has happened here is that Mike McCarthy, for all his got to get back to the fundamentals, got to, not go off course, got to stick with, our game plans, and there's no problem with the scheme is sound, et cetera, et cetera. That's all well and good, except he's using a scheme that traditionally has needed Aaron Rodgers at or near his best to make it work. He's run a scheme for the last 8-9 years that had one of the best quarterbacks to ever play the game at the helm. That is not this quarterback. Not this year. Not in 2015. Maybe. That is not this quarterback. He has got to help his quarterback. He's got to call plays and design a game plan for the quarterback on the field. Not the guy we saw last year. Not the guy we saw in 2010. The guy that is taking the field week in and week out. Now, we can say it's a slump. We can say he's going to bust out of it. You've got to help him bust out of it. You've got to lean on that running game. You've got to design some rollouts. You've got to move the pocket. It kills me watching the last four plays of that game against the Bears. All four plays basically come down to get in the end zone, try to get open, Aaron works some magic.
Yeah.
Now, you can quibble with that in regards to the technicalities of, there are these route adjustments, and this is what this guy saw, or Aaron called this play, or this adjustment at the line, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But when you break down those four plays to their barest essence, all four of them had the wide receivers run into the end zone, quote unquote, try to get open. Aaron tries to find somebody.
Yeah. I agree. You're not doing that.
That is not, you're not putting your players in a position to win the game.
You're not doing that with Osweiler.
No, exactly. I'm not saying you got to call the game as if Brock Osweiler is in there, but you have to help your struggling quarterback. You have to mix up the formations. You've got to create some clean, easy looks for him. And they've tried twice now on the first play of the game to run that bootleg to get him an easy completion, to get him in the rhythm. And both times, it has totally sucked. They've run it poorly. The defense has totally blown it up. But after that, they've gone away from that idea. They need to continue. They ran one play this year in a third and short where they isolated John Kuhn out in the flat. Got a huge gain on third and short. Easy play. Easy read. Easy completion. You need about 5 or 6 of those a game. Get your quarterback in a rhythm. Because until Mike does that, we're going to continue to see Rodgers struggling because of the quarterback he is in regards to he doesn't like to force it, doesn't throw 50-50 balls, doesn't throw it to guys he doesn't trust, doesn't like to lead receivers so they get lit up. These are all things that Rodgers has done throughout his career that aren't going to change. They are who he is. Those elements have made him a 2-time league MVP, but he's not playing with the guys that he was playing with when he won those MVPs. He's struggling. He doesn't trust what he sees. He doesn't trust his protection. Help him. Mike has to help him. And by saying the change needs to be made schematically or play calling wise doesn't make you a bad fan, doesn't mean you don't know what you're talking about. It means you want the quarterback to be put in a position to succeed, not unlike any other player on the football field. And until Mike recognizes that reality, we're going to continue to see more of the crap that we've seen for the past 2 months. That's all I got to say about that.
I don't think we're going to see that crap.
I hope not.
I really don't. And you know what? I'd rather be wrong about thinking the Packers are going to be great than be right when the Packers do crappy.
Okay, speaking of which, what's your prediction?
27-0.
All right. Since I've now become the de facto whipping boy for when I choose for them to win and they lose, and then I choose for them to lose and they win,
there's no way
everyone gives me crap. So I'm picking them to lose.
They're not going to lose this game.
They're going to lose in Detroit. You know why? Because they lost in Detroit last year. They always struggle in Detroit. They've never gone to Detroit playing as crappily as they are right now, even in 2010, when Rodgers and the offense couldn't generate any points before he left with a concussion. They're going to get their ass handed to him on Thursday night. I'm hoping that the football gods hear me say this and make the opposite happen, but they're going to lose on Thursday night.
They're not losing.
Okay, cool. You got anything else there, Corey?
Nope.
Well, that'll do it for this week's episode of Packer Transplants. We'd like to thank everyone who connected with us on the live chat. You guys really helped make this a unique fan experience. That's why Corey and I are here. Just remember, we are. We'll always be devoted to Green Bay Packer fans worldwide.
I think it's honorable to take the high road when something like this happens. Is there any positive in terms of motivation for your guys, how ticked off they are about how this played out? Any of that that can be used in any positive way whatsoever?
I'm not in the mood for drama tonight, Jason. Okay? I appreciate that.
What do you think you told the critics tonight?
Shh.